Okay, our next case is LU13-148833DZ on the Conway Block 296 Grocery and Apartments. And Kara Fioravanti from BDS is going to do a little introduction and a status report and what our course of action is today.
Thank you. We were here 2 weeks ago on July 18th with a staff report not recommending approval. A majority of you asked to return with a recommendation of approval. So you have that in front of you. It's the report. No drawings have changed. You didn't ask for any changes. There is one additional drawing that was in the presentation on July 18th that we have a hard copy for you today. It's just simply showing the vines that were presented for the west elevation of the warehouse. Within the past 2 weeks, we've also gotten a thumbs up from the city forester on the proposed street trees for the district. So that's included in the report. And with that, I think that's all. I can answer questions or listen to your deliberations.
Any questions, Kara? Okay, we want to go into comment then, or I guess the record is closed, but we can reopen it. Okay. All right. Commissioner comments.
So, as you kept saying last time, we're all friends here. after last Thursday's hearing, I went home that evening.
Ben, is your mic on?
Went home that evening and kept thinking about this project, and it was the first project that actually kept me up at night since I've been on here for 6 or 7 years or whatever it's been. And I kept thinking about all the hard work that Craig and that GBD has done, and you, Tom, and Jeff and Alan. And I, just getting up to the point of this project in the overall planning of the site, of the Conway site, and I feel that everything, it's such a beautiful project that this last stretch, that space that is, we discussed at length at the last hearing, is still not resolved in my opinion. And to the point to succeed in all the overall vision that was laid out by all the previous work by the team. And I think it's not much to get there. And so as a result, I went to a couple parking lots, and I think parking lots can be made tighter, as we discussed in that last hearing. And I think a few inches here and a few inches there is very critical in the success, as well as also at one of the grocery stores who have an outdoor eating area. And it does feel extremely private, in my opinion. I actually just spoke to a few people about that issue, whether or not that felt like a public part of a sidewalk or felt private. And the overwhelming response is private. So I guess I'm just concerned that if the user, who I think we all appreciate in any neighborhood, but in 10, 15, 20 years, hopefully not, but it could be a Walgreens. So if we're asking each other if that's a Walgreens, and if those parts of what was laid out to be a public access way going 50 years into the future, if we'd still be all amenable to the idea of privatizing sections like that, and if we'd be okay with them having displays out in 15 by 18 foot areas, and I don't think the answer would be yes. So I think that what, from my position in regard to what I said last time, would be a positive vote. I'm kind of coming around. I certainly don't want to slow down the project, and I don't think the things that are in my idea or mind would slow it down from the pace. And nor do I think it would jeopardize the probably delicate relationship between the potential tenant. But I do think it would immensely improve the access way as well as the experience for people into the future and the present. So, and I think that can be resolved. We touched on some of those subjects, and I think even the design team was open to exploring those. But then we kind of lost that opportunity by moving ahead with a positive staff report. So I would just like to discuss and get it out on the table with the fellow commissioners whether or not there's some bearing to that, and whether or not there's time for the team to go back and explore those subtle differences, like we talked about, blurring the line, tightening up the parking, working on the ADA access, and even just the access ways out of the parking lot into the access way, as well as the paving patterns and paving materials. And I think in those subtle differences, will make this project succeed, not only for the present tenant, but future tenants as well. So that's what I wanted to talk to you all about today.
So I'm just curious, Ben. So on the one hand, it's the it's kind of having the private, the extension of private uses into the
well, so 60-foot zone. Permanently. I mean, I think as we talked about in the future, we hope that restaurants and over kind of grow into those spaces. But when they're elevated by a couple feet with stairs and are very permanent, I think it becomes even more private and less able to change use in the future. So, and I don't know how to resolve that per the floor slab elevation, but there, I think there's other opportunities that allow that to be more flexible going forward.
One of the things I struggle with a little bit is, on the one hand, I think there's a diagram in the master plan that shows this kind of really wide green swath, you know, that runs up through that space. But it's mixed in what the whole team's, you know, us included, intention was for what that accessway is. Then on the one hand, it does get a kind of 60-foot zone where you don't want buildings built within that zone. That's what it's defining it as, is the building phase. So it seems like the intent was kind of twofold, to provide a basically a open space, right? So you're not building in it, and then make a zone that is wide enough for bikes to ride past people. It's kind of the fundamental thing, so you don't get these 200-foot wide blocks that you can't get through.
Right.
And I think what I was doing is because I see the big green bar, I'm like envisioning almost like a park, like this wider kind of like park-like right-of-way that is getting you through this thing. When even if you look at that, it had like people's private stoops kind of sticking out into it, or you know, they'd have planting beds, you know, but that would preserve that 16-foot dimension. So what I keep thinking is like, if there's a real opportunity, missed opportunity, maybe it's at the to have pushed harder during the master planning process that, no, this should be this 60-foot wide planted zone, or very, it's not just a, six, you know, not a public right, you know, a public easement to kind of get through there, but it's literally a 60-foot wide public. Everything in there has got to be public, and that's a different animal.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think of what the right vehicle might be to get there, other than, you know, it's really hard for me anyway to think of, you know, changing some master plan idea, or that what was documented in the master plan idea anyway. And then having a team that's already been pursuing that and kind of basing all of everything they're doing on that master plan that we approved, to say, well, we actually are thinking maybe we want a different vision for what that master plan meant by this thing.
But it's actually the opposite.
You think so?
Yeah. It's definitely the opposite.
The master plan meant
something to this table, and then something else was presented. That's why it was presented as it was, as, you know, we're not conforming in a way, we're reinterpreting it based on market forces and a particular retailer, not exactly what the diagram shows. So what the document is, it was written in a clever way that allows for interpretation. And I don't know if it was intentional or just happened that way, but it's what usually happens with a legal document, particularly in a planning document. There's a bit of interpretation, but when I was looking at it, I mean, it's an enormous document, right? And so when I was looking at it, I looked at the graphic.
Mm-hmm.
And what the graphic said associated with the table was parking, none. When I looked at that, I went, okay, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, if I were to try to go back and read every word and try to not and try to kind of project forward with the level of cherry picking that every one of us did last week or 2 weeks ago, you can make a case for almost anything.
Hmm.
And so I guess the kind of strength of the document is what's fundamental here. It's not strong enough to kind of dictate what happens. So I guess the level of interpretation from the graphic part to the written part is where the gap is. And so I think that's what has come forward. It's an interpretation based on someone's need for this particular site at this moment in time, and not necessarily what I would consider the intent of the whole master planning process.
And I guess, too, what I was just thinking, David, is when the master plan was in place, and again, that was a lot of hard work and expense, and as Craig pointed out a couple of weeks ago, he was the one who paid for it. So there's a little, it's an interesting kind of conundrum to be in, but what's a bit unfortunate is the first project out of the gate sets this tone for, like you say, going back the other way, up and down that access way. Now, when anybody sees that, I could see a Walgreens coming and saying, hey, listen, look two blocks down. They've kind of captured a lot of that. Shopping carts are out there. Their flower things are out there. So now the access way is essentially more retail space, kind of going deep. And so if any of us visit grocery stores around town, that space in front of a grocery store is very privatized. That's where their shopping carts are and all their everything. It's and their eating areas. And so are we just saying okay to that in what is very clearly demarcated as an access way for the whole community? Right. And are we setting that tone going forward? Right. So and with permanent things like the canopy, very permanent with things underneath it for the store, seating, and I could see shopping. I have no idea yet. But
what's one clarification, Kara? What modifications, aren't there some modifications related to the right-of-way? I mean, to the access way in terms of the size of what's constructed in it?
Right. So in going back to the projections allowed within an access way, there actually is one development standard, not a guideline, but a standard where there's a modification. The standard is one of eight that we added to the zoning code, basically. And what it says is that stoops and other entry features can project into the accessway up to 10 feet on either side. So the deck at the entryway is 24 feet in. So that's a 14-foot modification. So that standard is pretty specific about what's allowed and the extent of what's allowed. And then you've brought up a couple times the 16-foot wide measurement that's noted in one of the guidelines. It says it basically refers to when there's a passageway, and the diagram actually has two passageways. It says ideally, you know, roughly 16 feet. So it's not a hard and fast standard. It's, you know, general what feels comfortable, and when it's a pathway, there could be multiple pathways, and they could be wider, of course. But the one very specific standard is the 10-foot encroachments on either side allowed, making that the rest of it, the corridor through. There's a modification.
Can I visit process here for a second? I thought we had a pretty extended conversation last time this project was presented. If you recall, I was the crankiest about the access way. Mr. Warwick was crankiest about the parking lot. But we supported the project completely. Yes, you did not support the project. But they are back here today, and I'd like Kara to explain why they're back, because
we didn't have a staff report. It was in support, so we couldn't vote last time. So
right.
Now this is the vote. So
where I'm going is we have an extraordinary project that also is precedent-setting and some challenging. But I'm concerned that we gave the applicant the intent that this project was going to go forward with one vote accepting that.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So if I understand that to be true,
right.
Just a second. Sure, please.
The project has my full support today. Okay. I think it's an extraordinary project. I think it does set a challenging precedent, two of them, the parking and the access way. And if you'll recall, last time I talked about not how wide the access way, but the perception of the public about how they feel whether they're being invited into that access way, whether it's 2 feet wide or whether it's 50 feet wide. And my belief was that I didn't think they were being invited. However, I feel very uncomfortable about opening this up again.
Well, we talked about that, and
Not because of the discussion, not because of the content,
right,
but because of the process. I
right.
mean, if
exactly.
we'd had this kind of discussion before, we should have had them work for 2 weeks before they came.
Exactly. And so, and that was when we were in this position 2 weeks ago. I think I said my piece, but we all said their piece. And I said, okay, what about the greenway? What about the accessway? And there was silence. So I had many concerns, but at that point I felt, okay, well, it doesn't matter. So we'll just move forward. So now to revisit it at this point seems a bit awkward at best.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it won't change my mind. I mean, I I am where I am on it. And for me to participate is a bit, I think, compromising in principle in terms of opening it up and talking about something that I'm going to vote for no anyway. So you guys can do what you need to do.
Well, I just wanted to get, I want to get that out because we've got folks sitting here wondering what's going on. So
I mean,
absolutely.
Just to support what Ben's saying, though, and I will say this much, I think it's deeply flawed in those two areas you said. And why you feel it's deeply flawed but still fully support it is a bit of a puzzle.
I guess because of the where we were in the discussion when we went through the entire document, every single image, and asked every single question. And I feel, as I said, there's no one smarter in the city, from my perspective, than this team in terms of the design stuff that they do. And I registered my complaints and said, I think it's nuts. I don't think you've solved this yet, but I have the hope that, you know, through this process, it'll get a little better. But I didn't get any support from anyone, so I made my peace. So I love your comment about, if it's a chain, if it's a Chuck E. Cheese or something else, you know, do we really want that them selling Chucky out there? I'm not sure.
Well, and then that brings the question, is one particular retailer more favored than others?
Well, Ben's brought up
absolutely.
The whole big ball of wax
sure.
here.
Yeah.
No, I'll take full responsibility for kind of derailing the process that we all kind of nodded our heads to, and I know it's uncomfortable, but what I do, I think, and because I maybe I was imagining things, but I think last time the design team was actually open to making some improvements, and I don't think these improvements are drastic. They don't change anything parking wise. They don't change underground parking. They don't change facades. They don't change. It's really just one. I think the landscaping needed some attention. I think it was pretty simple for the task it was charged with in kind of buffering a parking lot to a commercial zone and to an accessway that's going forward for the future. I think it needs work, but I don't think that will retard the process at all or the project. And I think that blurring the line further in a study of the public spaces, that 14-foot modification going deeper into the accessway, again, I think those are all solvable with this extremely competent design development team. I just think it needs a little more time. So but there's enough to vote today and still pass it. I just have to say that I probably would vote no now. And it's unfortunate that the team had this weird window between a staff report not being written and now where the vote act, this is when the vote occurs. So, I take full responsibility for kind of misleading the team, and I regret that. But I think that the team and the city and Conway and the future of that whole district would be well served by a couple weeks of time spent on this very critical question to solve for all the projects north and south of it going forward.
Well, Ben, I would offer this up then as just for consideration, is if you wanted to make a motion with a condition of some sort that would, the Riverscape project, I think in the 11th hour, there were 10 or 9 conditions that we attached. Well, again, I voted no for that. But anyway, that's beside the point. There were 10 conditions associated with that project. And so I don't know if you can craft a motion that would include a condition that would be amenable. And I don't know if we need to open the record and have a discussion about that, if they would be amenable to a condition. But I think there's a process that we all need to kind of, I think, try to support that has a sense of predictability for everyone. And so
absolutely.
At the same time, this project is so important. And for some kind of group dynamic issue that we had last time, we couldn't come to the point where let's tell the applicant what those issues are and have them work on it. So, but in the best interest of the city over time, it might be worthwhile to see what can be crafted at this moment as a condition and then let them go forward at that point, if that's something you all are interested in. If not, if there are three of you that aren't interested in that, let's just kind of move to vote or something. But
are you Commissioner Wark, not voting for approval specifically because of the parking condition?
Yes.
And are you not voting for approval because of the amount of parking or the treatment of parking or
as a surface parking lot?
Is my
objection, right? Right. Now, I share all the concerns about the sense of privatization, kind of flow in the pedestrian access way, all those issues that you got up and actually pointed to, and everyone kind of had a level of discomfort that seemed pretty consistent. And so that's kind of the puzzle at this point is the question, why didn't that get communicated 2 weeks ago? So at this point, I guess in order to not derail the process or delay it in a way that is, you know, impactful in a negative way, can we bring them up, ask them and have a discussion about the conditions and or the issues at hand, and can we craft a condition that they can respond to?
Well, as Commissioner Sabino said, this is an extremely competent design team. I'd be curious if they would just take a couple weeks and work out of themselves without the conditions, because to apply conditions means that we would have the resolution here in this room. I think this team is extremely competent that can solve it, and I think
they need to know what it is.
They, absolutely. Okay. But rather than say, please do this, this, and this as conditions, but, you know.
Okay. Well,
can we have a discussion?
Would the applicant like to come up and discuss this or just?
Or not.
I know you don't really want to, but at the invitation of the commission, would you want to come? Would you come forward and have a discussion with us? How about that?
So as you can imagine, we came back here today assuming that this was an item of consent, that we had a staff report and approval, and that therefore that's where things sat, and we were expecting a vote here today. I haven't, you know, we're all five sitting here together. I probably should poll some of the others that are here with me, so I guess I'm asking, could we have a couple minutes outside the room?
Sure.
But before we do that,
do you want to get a sense of what the scale of issue or the significance?
Well, I can imagine it can be all over the board, frankly. I mean, at this point, we're kind of
right.
At that point, everybody starts throwing their opinion in.
Sure.
So there's a concern, you know, where this goes at that point.
Right.
With that said, you know, a couple of you talked here today, and a couple haven't. So I don't know. I'm kind of looking around trying to figure out what would be helpful
votes.
Here.
Who's in, who's out?
Well, don't we all?
Yeah. I mean, maybe I can, just before you go, I'd like to say my piece, which is I don't know what the if this master plan didn't meet, you know, certain, you know, visions of what it should have been, I just don't know what that was or how that was ever communicated. I mean, I never heard sort of, we're looking for a 60-foot wide public right-of-way that's all green. I mean, I just never heard it. So I feel like we're kind of inventing that.
What do you mean? Of course, it depends on how you interpret it. It's in there. It's not green, but there's a
public access way.
Okay.
It's got private decks in it. It's got...
Right.
Specifically no buildings.
Does that mean these have to be private residential decks?
No, I don't. Right.
So all I'm saying is that not only where I'm coming from, I don't even get what the intention is that we're trying to deliver onto this thing. Because functionally, I see the idea of having buildings set back to create a 60-foot swath and allow people to traverse from one end of the neighborhood to the other through there. That's the intent of that move. And if there's lots of other values being brought to that, let's I mean, let's talk about that relative to.
Well, I want to talk about that because I look at this corridor and I look at the scale of the, you know, multiple blocks that this corridor is serving. And I think, what is the spirit and intent of a corridor like that? Is it to get from point A to point B and you just, everything in between is a blur? Or is it a is it a corridor intended to offer experiences? Yeah, I'm a landscape architect. I'm an urban design planner. And I think about, what's our goal looking at spaces like that where people move through, interact, they have destinations, but they also have periods where they want to stop and participate in what's being offered along that corridor.
Absolutely.
And in this situation, we have what's being coined privatization of the corridor. In my opinion, it's activation of the corridor. It's providing me as the audience opportunities to stop and see life going on, shopping and interaction between people and the, you know, and I reflect on my travels internationally and I look at what are the most exciting, vibrant cities I've been in where these opportunities are the norm. Stores spilling out into the street, crowds, cars parked, you know, scooters everywhere. And what does that do for my experience? I think it enriches my experience, personal opinion. So I look at this corridor and the fact that we're putting store amenities into these spaces, vegetable stands, what have you, a coffee deck. They can feel privatized. They can also offer opportunities for experience. And that's what this space is. It's a sequence of experiences. I think my only rub on this whole conversation is the proximity of the surface parking to that corridor and the way that that edge is being treated. I think there's probably a much more sophisticated design solution to that conflict, the car grill, and my experience moving through that space. That's my personal rub here. I could care less about privatized uses spilling into the corridor because I actually support that. I think it brings life to the space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see some green corridor 60 feet wide going through this urban setting. Doesn't make sense to me at all.
No.
So,
I would agree with you on that. Yeah, absolutely. That it should be,
so
I guess, the scale
if you're
of
looking for where I stand on this thing, for me, it's the proximity of the surface parking to the corridor and the fact we have head-in parking, headlights, and you know, if the landscape doesn't succeed or it's not performing at the peak of the bell curve, then we've got issues with regards to buffer screening. You know, there's all kinds of different ways we can solve that interface. And I think that could use some more exploration, whether we do that through conditions or whether we put faith in the design team to take it on themselves as a challenge to fix that. I don't have an opinion. But I do want to say, I you know, for me, listening to other commissioners talk about privatization of the corridor, I'm not in that camp. I don't feel the same way about that. So.
Well, it's the whole block is private land. So whatever we tell them around the perimeter, on the streetscape, on the scale, the zoning, all of it's related to private land. So it's not like the accessway is different than anything else in terms of what we're reviewing. So just to kind of stop splitting hairs with what's private, it's all private.
Yeah.
So I guess why don't we, Jeff, did you want to deliberate with your group, or did you want to continue this, or?
Well, can I just, have a follow-up. So Jeff, did you feel like in our last hearing that you were able to air those concerns you had with, I mean, did you talk about any of those landscape issues?
I felt like as a group, as a body, as a voice from the commission, we were kind of speaking the same language. I don't think any of us were talking prohibitively about the uses you were proposing for that corridor. I think more detail has come out here in the last 10 minutes than has come out, you know, 2 weeks ago or prior. As far as personal vendettas against that type of use. So
I felt 2 weeks ago that those issues were tabled, were talked about, and were collectively discussed as a group. So I didn't feel like I needed to be redundant with comments. But today I wanted to make some clarifications where I stand personally.
So in terms of process, Chair, I guess
Vice Chair,
co-chair in spirit
sub-chair
today. I see a couple heads shaking on my group's behalf. So if we could, and I Hold think it could second. Be a quick 2 minute,
sure.
Like if we could step out of the room okay. and then come back,
okay.
and then maybe clarification on where we are, because I'm confused right now whether the record is open or whether the record is closed, whether we get a chance to rebut any of the additional comments here. So I think some clarification
okay.
on process.
Right.
Will, do you feel complete? Do you understand everybody's position? Do you want everybody to make a statement so that before you go,
that's
you
a great
of,
idea.
Not in terms of which way to vote, but what they think the issue is?
I always believe more information is better. So
is that okay?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
You just went.
Okay.
On the record with that okay. go around. The one okay. thing I'll add to that is love the vine pockets.
Okay.
Thank you. So, I have no issues. I fully support the project. I did last week and I knew today.
So I think I'm okay with the surface parking lot.
No changes.
I think that's... I think we would all probably agree that's an unfortunate first project out of the gates, but I think I see, like we spoke about at the hearing, the necessity due to saving this old building and all the other constraints on this project, which are good, so I think something had to give, and I understand that being a surface parking lot. I do agree that that line, when you speak about that accessway and kind of the vibrancy of it, I think it would be more successful if that was a building face as opposed to the grills of parking lot. So that the grills of cars add a level of complexity to that accessway that I think the design team can resolve pretty handily and readily with some more attention to the landscaping. And like we spoke about last time, a blurring of that distinction, so it's not just L3 landscaping between a surface parking lot and what could be a Walgreens. Easily in 20 years. So, and that I think, I agree, a vibrant accessway is key, but 14-foot modifications going out with permanent structures into it as the first project sets a precedent for the whole accessway going forward. Now, if that was the intent of all the hard work by GBD getting to this point on the study, well, that was hard to decipher from the actual big document we read through that was the intent. So the deviation from the intent. So I'd say, again, the images that I have in my mind are not big departures from what the plan is, but a grocery store, this whole zone, in my opinion, will feel very private, as in use of solely to the grocery store. So those two, the how to soften that line between the grills of a, and because right now we just have striped spots being the access from the parking lot between ADA parking spots into the accessway, which seems pretty minimal for what we're talking about. And I think, again, with this design team, it can be resolved with one more pass way better than it is today without slowing down the process at all. But again, overall, to the whole group, I apologize for my kind of rethinking it. And had we voted, then that would have been a water under the bridge. But due to process, we did not vote, and the vote's today. So I think it's odd, but I don't think I'm really breaking from a process, per se, because we're still within process. My vote's today, and I'm voting. I would have to vote no based on this today. But again, I think that with your expertise, this would be resolved so much more beautifully and set a precedent going forward so much more beautifully with not much work.
My concern today was the same as last time, which is, if I'm standing on the sidewalk, do I feel like I'm invited into the public realm to cross through the block, or do I feel like I'm walking on driveway or something that's private? I agree, stuff spilling out is great, but because of the grade, because of the structure, and because the path kind of jags I think the visual connection from the sidewalk does not present the kind of invitation that invites me into a what I consider a public access as opposed to walking between a parking lot and a grocery store. I think it's a simple design solution, but that's my point is the make it even fuzzier. It's the intent. It's the perception of a person standing on the sidewalk. It's not the physical constraint whatsoever. And that's harder to do.
Well, this is a very conflicted conversation for me in the sense that I don't support the project as designed, and I never have. It was very clear when it was presented in its infancy at the last master planning document presentation. And I think I even said, I hope that doesn't come before us in that form, but of course it did. So for me to say, okay, let's have a conversation about the parking and its interface with the public access way when I don't even believe there should be parking there is kind of a difficult bridge for me to cross. But I would support anything that makes it better. Okay.
So, yeah, we'll okay. Take a couple of minutes.
A couple minutes? All right.
Open.
Oh, yep. I can't speak yet. Sorry. All right. So, just for clarity, the record is open now. When you came back up.
Okay.
Okay.
So, with that, you know, we came back, as I said, fully expecting the vote today, and I think we'd like to proceed, but if I could just make a few comments on that behalf. One, we've heard some of the discussion around here. I do think that trying to condition something like this today is tough because it's such a large issue. But in talking with the team members and with Conway representative today, we fully understand that there are issues with maybe the understanding of where design commission is vis-a-vis the master plan and what that public space is. And I think that there would be a commitment to maybe continue those discussions. Ben, you kind of raised this issue about master plan. We don't see this as a type of project that's going to set the stage or a precedent for every other block in this area. This block came in, as David mentioned, it always was going to be a grocery store. It was the catalytic project that was going to start this whole thing. And I think just from myself, I think we can say that we have a commitment to go back and look at some of the things like this landscaping in that area. As we had mentioned before, you know, it's possible we've already got quality concrete out in those parking areas that, you know, I'm more than happy to go back and take a look at that. Would like to probably come back if we, and I'm sure we'll have other changes through some type of a additional type 2 process with staff at that point. So we feel like we've kind of come in today looking for the vote, expecting a vote, and we'd like to call a question.
Okay. Well, we can make a motion and with conditions if that's what you so desire. Okay, so we'll close the public record. And let's go for just comments. Ben, since you brought it up, you might want to talk to the other commissioners about what your thinking is in terms of just I guess we'll look for a motion from you if you want to make the motion. Will it include a condition or not? And if you do include a condition, then you maybe explain what your intent is for that. And that might help form opinions.
Well, first of all, as we said last time, it's a beautiful project. The apartment building on the east side is amazing, and the renovation of the building, I applaud everything about it and all of Conway's work to date. And really, as I reflected back on the 2 weeks ago on our discussion, I was just chagrined that we collectively were not, in my opinion, living up to all of Conway's hard work on envisioning what this whole area is going to be. The surface parking lot being one deviation, and then the further privatization of our already private access way. So in my opinion, it still does need more work, and like I said earlier, it's not much work that would make a huge impact on the whole, all the work that was done to date. So I would make a motion that we accept the staff report as written, but with a modification, or a condition rather,
a condition to further explore that delineation between the parking and the accessway and go beyond the L2 requirements, go well beyond the L2 requirements because of the heavy lifting that it's doing. It is protecting, like I say, all the hard work of Conway's master plan and protecting the accessway to the north and south. So I'd say that that's a condition, as well as a condition just to further explore, and I'll leave this up to the extremely competent design team, on how that, as I really think something was in the HVAC system 2 weeks ago, because we all talked about all these issues, but then the vote went through with a yes. We talked about the furnishings and the kind of the weaving, the jig-jag, as was mentioned, and I just think that that, with a little bit more refinement, can, without much of a change, and with no impact on the tenant, in my opinion, can be much better. So I'd make a condition that that is just further explored with staff. So those two conditions, the line between parking and the accessway, and then the furnishing zone in the accessway itself.
So you haven't actually made the motion yet because you want some discussion.
I know. Okay. I got it.
That was a motion.
You do want to make the motion without any discussion.
Unless we want to discuss. But
I'd like to jump in
before you
discuss. We need to, with the condition of approval, have something that we could say has been met. For instance, the door is going to be 5 feet to the right or 5 feet to the left. What you're suggesting is sort of more of a good faith request that could be kind of a sidelined item. But as a condition of approval, there isn't a way for us to enforce that and say they have further explored. What does that mean? That's talking about open to interpretation. That definitely is. So if you have something specific in terms of pieces and parts where they could go or what they should be, we could condition that. With these genuine requests for more work, it's more of a handshake kind of thing, and we can't do a condition the way you're going. Sorry.
So 3 6-foot arborvitae every 2 feet with an Italian cypress.
6 inches on center.
On center, 2 feet off of the access.
Back in 2 weeks.
So have you got some more information for us?
What, though? The whole access road?
Expand on his comments, be more specific. Staff protective procedure. If Kara's not happy tonight.
Yeah. But what space is subject to type 2?
Well, that needs to be refined.
Yeah. If you want to punt.
Ben, your thresholds might be focused on what you already commented on with regards to exceeding the L2 standard.
We could bring them up. Apologize. We could talk about specifics regarding the L2 standard being modified to a different measurable standard for that screen between the parking and the accessway. And we could be specific about the condition on the penetration of privatized uses into the accessway. I mean, right now we're going from 14 feet allowable to 24. Is that right?
10 feet allowed.
I'm sorry, 10 feet to 24. So we could limit that specifically. We could set a specific measurable standard for the buffer based on current language in the code.
I'm just suggesting
if we wanted to be more specific with measurable conditions.
Well, I was going to offer one. You mentioned parking dimensions. You could, in your condition, specify a reduction of X amount because they're, 3.5 or 5.5 feet over. Is that right? 5.5 feet over
the aisle is 3.5 feet.
And then the dimension of the stalls themselves are a foot extra, I think, or something. So
the one row of stalls is 17 feet. So yeah,
well,
4.5.
Right. Go back through the whole parking lot underneath also.
Correct.
Both bays are the same.
Yeah.
So there's 3.5, 3.5, 1, 1, 1. So 7, 8, 9, 11 feet of flux there, above the standard, if I'm calculating right, something like that. So, as a measurable piece, you could say, okay, dimensions X, Y, Z need to be reduced by, whatever.
I think the constraint on that was the
spots on the north and south of that lot that were constraining that depth. But I guess I'm thinking out loud here. With these conditions, the team would need to do work, and with the work and work with staff. So I guess I'm just wondering if we just let the team go back and do the work. And I think, I said,
as a friendly amendment, or what?
From my perspective, not as a friendly amendment. Oh. Just go do the work and come back. And I think in 2 weeks they'd have it all done, and it'd be fantastic, without all the conditions describing 14 to 10, and, you know, L3, L2 to L11.
They already want to call the question, right?
Right. What were you going to say?
I was going to say a couple things. We could go down the track of where Jeff's going and be more prescriptive and get that list of maybe 11 conditions. It's not ideal. It kind of goes to what you're saying right now. You could do the punt and say a specified area or the whole area comes back through a type 2. I think that's a possibility. We've done things before where we punted to type 2. What that does, though, is make coming back in 2 weeks a lot more desirable, I would imagine, but maybe not. So we could get specific. We could do friendly amendments. We could punt. We could maybe ask again for a two-week return. But if we do want to talk about dimensions of the parking, I know there's a few aisles that do have slack that could move without rippling through below. But if we're going to do the whole 11 feet or whatever it is, we might want to understand what that does below, because the ramp would be shifting. And with that,
You try to keep it to the west of the ramp.
Yeah.
I just remember from Alan speaking last time, it was like 2 feet. But even in that measure of that difference, I thought that 2 feet was pretty critical. So if that's possible.
I think 4.5 could shift without moving the ramp or structure or anything. But if I'm wrong.
Right. No, because standard is 16 feet parking and 20-foot aisles. Right. So it's 52 feet. And then what's the dimension they have?
They have 16, 23.5, and 17.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe
four and a half.
A little parking island gets a little narrow or something, but that's okay.
20 is two-way.
Yeah.
As far as parking standard. But anyway, that's just something that's measurable. I was just offering that up as a measurable
entity.
Those are conditions.
Right.
We can't
accept
those
conditions because we have contractual obligations, but we have to promote it. So we would,
I'm waiting for Kara to have a magic answer.
Okay.
Tell everybody what they want, but if that's not happening, I guess where my mind is, you guys, I just really I very much appreciate everybody's opinion, you know, like, and the kind of hard, it's really hard, Ben, I think, to, you know, really speak your mind when, you know, the whole process is just running like a steam train, you know, and just carrying its own momentum. But I think the process is just really important here, and that I feel like it's really kind of incumbent on us to have left the record last time, you know, with clarity that we expected them to come back with some work. And it's a very clear, it's like there's all the design stuff that we're talking about, which I, you know, it's everybody's got their different takes on it. But it's the process piece that I just really, that's very, very important. And I think we have to hold that up very high in how we're running this. And to me, it goes beyond headlights. You know, it's like, that's the city and how it works, and people having predictability about it. So I, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I
know you do. I mean,
it's a struggle for me too. Ironically, it was actually Jeff Stewart told me when I started this whole thing to be careful when you vote for things because you'll see them built soon.
Yeah.
And when you see them built, then those decisions just become solid forever. And so you really got to be confident. And so the process is all the process that we're speaking about is to get to a city that we all like living in and like our next generation to live in. So, and I still, like I mentioned earlier, I think we're within process. Today's the vote. I definitely deviated by kind of breathing in that air last 2 weeks ago, but mm-hmm. with clarity, I'll actually kind of fall back to what I'll see built. And if I see an L2 separating a parking lot from that accessway, I'll feel like the process itself failed the city. And again, I'm a bit different than Commissioner Warwick, is that I'm not saying bury all the parking, which is a radical.
I didn't say bury it.
No, okay, do away with it. That would derail.
I didn't say that either.
I think that would inhibit the whole development team significantly, actually maybe too much. But what I'm thinking in my head, again, like I keep saying, is not going to do that, but it will preserve the intent they were all here for in the first place. So.
Okay. So, any other comments about the project in general, or this, what's about to go down in a couple minutes, or what? Anything, any other additional insights? Anybody got a magic bullet?
If you're, just a suggestion, because we're doing things a little atypical here, or out of the ordinary, I should say. If you come to a list of conditions where you feel like you've got a majority vote, it might be worthwhile to see if that list of conditions works for the applicant and we're done, or if they would rather not do the list and consider coming back in 2 weeks. It's just an idea in case a bunch of conditions come up that aren't going to work. It'd be unfortunate to see a decision with conditions that don't work and then an appeal because of this.
But as you brought up, Jeff, L2 to what? I mean, what is the next? I mean, and so Lango Hansen is an extremely talented group. I'd hate to, like, say L2 to something. What would we even say to?
Well, we could.
That's why it's hard to condition.
Like percent of opacity to a certain height.
Can't hear again.
Silly microphone. Code defines buffer and screening standards in the L, 1, 2, 3, 4 standards. We could refer to those, or we could be more specific about what level of opacity / translucency we want between that edge, if that's the issue. Is it visual spillover? Is it noise? Is it, what is it? You know, how are we, what's the condition we're trying to accomplish here? As I understand it from listening, and my personal beef is it's the awareness and the pressure I would feel as a user of that space with parking encroaching into my zone, because I see it and I feel it. I can feel the heat from the car that just pulled in there on an August day.
I can rudely interrupt. You also talked about how some of the best cities have Vespas and cars and bikes and people. So I keep going back. It's not about what the parking's doing, or just, I'm clarifying my own point, I guess. It's rude. It's not about the encroachment. It's about the invitation. So right. That thing can be clogged with stuff, but does somebody see it as a driveway to the grocery store for pedestrians, or do they see it as a pedestrian access that links the whole district? And that can't be achieved through L2 or L3 or buffer plants. It's a holistic approach that is sight lines, materials, colors, grade, structures. It's a gestalt. And I'm very nervous. I personally feel more comfortable with them listening to what we're saying and understanding how important it is to the development in Conway than we do by saying three arborvitas and L4 and whatever that means,
right,
and this kind of stuff, because they're smarter than that.
Yeah,
I want these guys to use their brains to solve it. I don't want to solve it for them. I'm not smart enough to solve it. So I'm looking for that way to just send them on their way to do good work when they've heard how important it is. But, they don't have to do it if we don't have a hammer. That's the challenge. And I don't want to prescribe it. Other things, seen folks come through and we've been able to prescribe it.
I think it's nearly impossible to condition that one.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. we have, you brought up one alternative. It's not a pleasant one per se, but is an alternative. Is a type two for, we've done type two for signage and landscaping and other things like that. That's not the best scenario, but it's a scenario. Mm-hmm. It lets them do their deal. They do it with staff, and staff has heard the concerns and kind of acts as the intermediary for those goals. If we can't condition it, and you want something to happen,
that's a new fee payment and everything.
Yeah,
it's a new
We're within the same fee now, I believe.
Right.
So what would it be? Is this?
Right. No, it's not a perfect option. No. I'm just reiterating what Kara brought up as an option. So, really, what it really comes down to is how adamant, how committed, how much of an influence of a surety do you want to have relative to your comments, so that if they go off as with a friendly amendment, that's different than going off with a condition or come back for type two or come back in 2 weeks. So are those the options?
Mm-hmm.
Basically the four options?
Yeah.
Friendly amendment.
You got it.
Condition, come back in 2 weeks, or type two.
Yeah.
I honestly think in the time we've been sitting here
with no friendly amendments. So there's five options.
This is
there's the do nothing except vote.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
So five options.
Yeah.
But as chair, I'll take this opportunity to state my opinion one last time, because yes, we're voting on this, and the focus is on this greenway and its relationship to open parking. But as I said last time, it's really the wrong question that we're asking still. And it just reminded me, I thought of between the last hearing and this hearing, kind of all the open spaces that have been developed as new neighborhoods. And about 15 years ago, there was fallow land, inner city developers, very forward-thinking developers got together with really good architects, designed several blocks at one time as a catalyst project with a grocer. They decided to put all the parking underground. And so picture, if you will, in the Pearl District across from Whole Foods, a parking lot. And then the city growing up around that parking lot. That's what you're voting on. And so South Waterfront didn't do it. The Lloyd blocks that we just voted on didn't do it. But this group's going to do it. So that's what we're voting on. So that's the perspective that when you vote on this thing, that when you go by it and all the buildings have grown up around it, this is the one block in that whole district that's going to have a surface parking lot. So I've said my piece. So do you want to make a motion?
Well, sure. So I'll make a motion to deny the staff report for approval.
Say it again.
To deny the staff report that recommends approval.
Okay.
Deny that. And again.
Well, I would second that.
Yeah.
But that won't fly. So then we'll have to do another. So.
Well, let's see. There's a second. So. Call
it
up. Yep.
So we're voting on the motion.
We're voting on the staff report as written.
You're Ben, going to deny.
Ben made a motion that would basically deny the design as proposed.
No, I vote to approve approve the staff report.
Okay, so you're not.
So you're voting no.
Yeah.
Right.
Jeff Simpson?
No.
Ben Kaiser?
Yes.
You made the motion. Yeah, okay.
Dave Keltner?
No.
Dave Work?
Yes. So that motion fails. So do we have a new motion?
I make a motion to accept the staff report as written.
Need a second.
Talk to me about friendly amendment.
Friendly amendment? Well, we have a motion. Can we?
You can have a friendly amendment.
You can have friendly amendments. You could, well, you'd have to ask David if he would attach a friendly amendment to his motion.
Sure.
So let's talk about, can we talk about that?
Make the motion, Ted, with the friendly amendment.
No. I want some help in crafting the friendly amendment is what I'm really asking.
Okay.
And I'm asking for your
experience.
I'm not
an expert on Robert's Rules of Order.
Okay, what do you want it to do?
It seems highly...
Well, I'm the wrong guy, because I think they did think about it, and I think it's pretty good.
Right. So what you can ask David is if he's open to a friendly amendment to his motion.
And he is.
He is, okay.
Okay, now I'm going to ask staff, listening to what we've talked about, what could be the parameters, the understanding the subjects that we've discussed, how might a friendly amendment be crafted?
So a friendly amendment's not going to be binding. It's going to be a strong encouragement for them to do something. So your friendly amendment could be a request that they reconsider certain areas.
And is that resolved by staff?
No, that would be through type two.
I'm done.
So that would be a condition of approval, not a friendly amendment.
So it wouldn't be much different. It wouldn't be much different than what they've heard in terms of.
There's no way to enforce it. It has to be a full thing.
Condition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it may have to go back to Antimoler.
I'm just.
Okay. So is there a second?
The condition is they would have to, if it's a condition, they would have to come back with staff,
yes.
Not with us.
They would have to meet the condition prior to getting a permit.
So they don't have to come back.
New filing, new expenses, or can they do it under this dime?
If the condition requires another land use review, yes. It would be another application, another fee, a staff review. Depends on what the...
But if you do it...
If you do a condition there, the door moves 5 feet, that's not a new review.
Right.
That's just meeting it.
Understood.
Right.
We're asking to have our cake and eat it.
You just have to make a specific condition.
I can't. It's perceptual.
Okay. All right. So someone, we need a second on David's motion.
A second.
Okay.
Second the motion.
You do? Okay. Paige?
Go again. Tad Savner.
Yes.
Jeff Simpson.
Yes.
Ben Kaiser?
No.
David Feltner?
Yes.
And David Moore?
No. Okay.